He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the Wednesday, August the 2nd edition of the Best Stocks Now show. And the market has opened on the wrong side of the bed this morning. It got up on the wrong side of the bed. It stayed there. And it is selling off today, not liking the news out of Fitch. Who's Fitch, for heaven's sakes? Well, they're a big bond rating agency. And they have downgraded U.S. debt, and as a consequence, at least for now, the Dow is down 192. That's a half a percent. The Dow is now at 35,438. The NASDAQ is down 204 points. Obviously, the higher PE stocks are going to be affected more by a ratings downgrade, which raises interest rates. It makes it more costly to borrow money, and that's pushed the 10-year up to, I think, 4.08 is where we're at right now. That's the highest we've been at for quite some time. The S&P is down 37 right now to 45.39. The small caps are down 1%. Crude oil is down a little bit here. Crude is down 49 cents to 80.88. Gold is up $3 to 1981. The 10-year, see, is up to 4.08%, so that's impacting your multiple on the market today. And meanwhile, another risk-on asset, Bitcoin, it's actually up today, $493. So welcome to today's The Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We've got our chartered financial analyst here. He'll be weighing in soon on what a downgrade to U.S. debt by Fitch means. But let's kind of pick up where we left off yesterday, all right? The market was up 71. The Dow was. The NASDAQ was off yesterday. And in the after hours, AMD came in with a good report. AMD was up about 6% initially after the report, and then it kind of faded during the evening. This morning it was up about 2% before the Fitch news came out. And, there must have been, the market must have known a little bit. Maybe somebody at Fitch leaked it, because the bond market, Barry, has been selling off for the last several days, and interest rates have gone above 4. Today we're at 4.08. And the bond market's had like several bad days in a row. And then we get this Fitch news, okay? And the last time we had a bond downgrade was 2011. That was by S&P 500. And now Fitch has joined in, 12 years later?
Yeah, and never, and S&P never raised it back either.
No.
It's been exactly where they changed it, 11 years ago, or, back in 2000. It was like August. Odd thing, it was August 5th of 2011, so almost 12 years to the day.
Yeah.
But, it's been interesting, and when you look at the bond prices today and how the markets react, you've really had a steepening of the curve, whereas we've had an inverted yield curve. Today you actually have, the short end, I think, all the way up to, I think the only ones, the yields that are moving up are the two-year on, two-year and later, so and a big move in the 30-year note. But, it's more, to me it's a, kind of, hopefully, maybe it'll have a silver lining and get help us get our fiscal house in order, because no one in Washington, really neither side, has really attempted or even really shown any real will to lower the budget. You've talked about it for a long time. It doesn't matter, if you only have a 2 to 6 year window in terms of what you're looking at, in terms of what your reelection cycle is. How can you have a how can you worry about the 30-year note, right? If you only got such a short-sighted view. So
well, let's put it this way. Of all the candidates that have put their hat in the ring for president, have you heard one of them say, I'm here to be fiscally responsible, to balance the budget? I mean, the last big effort to balance the budget goes back to Newt Gingrich. He did it. They did it at that point in time.
Yeah, which is under a split government. I mean, under a Democratic president and a Republican House.
And then it kind of started with Bush and the Iraq war. That was the excuse. Pretty soon we were $2 trillion in debt, and then Obama came along and kind of sped things up, and then we were $10 trillion in debt.
And then we kind of grew our way out of it under Trump for a handful of years until COVID.
Yeah, and then he
ballooned since.
Yeah, he expanded it, and he never had a balanced budget in the 4 years he was the president. I mean, he ran deficits. And now you got Biden, and it's really exploded. And now it just looks like it's at the point of no return.
I remember former Senator Bob Corker when he was from Tennessee, out of Chattanooga. And so when he was there, I know he had kind of a calendar. I think we went over 1,000 days without an actual budget, under Obama, and I remember his quote was, we're running the biggest business in the world without a budget for essentially almost 3 years, if not a little longer.
Yeah, and you always have that, I like to go to every once in a while to that
debt calculator.
That's just spinning. It's just spinning constantly.
Remember when they had the billboard years ago, and then it got to the, I think it hit the trillion mark, and they didn't have, they didn't have enough digits. No, they didn't.
Well, it's not going to end well. We all know that. Someday the chickens are going to come home to roost. And this is just a little shot across the bow. If you're a company, for instance, okay, let's just say you're Boeing. And the rating agencies come along and downgrade your debt, that makes it, the results are, it makes it more expensive to borrow because no longer are your bonds triple A. I think they lowered it to AA+. So that's like a B+, right, instead of an A. And it costs more to buy or to borrow. And an investor demands more, right? An investor in a company that's just had their debt downgraded is going to demand a higher rate. But I don't know how much it has to do. Now, let's go back to 2011. The market has done nothing but go up since 2011 when S&P first... They put U.S. debt at the level that Fitch did 12 years later. So I can't say that initial downgrade impacted the stock market very much. And really, it's the Fed that has more to say about interest rates than Fitch and S&P. But, okay, what it is.
Yeah, I'll put this in context, right? So, it's all comparable to other countries, too. I mean, so you got Germany with a AAA, and then you've got, the United States with now a AA+, right? Both of them from Fitch. And, would you rather, would you rather borrow from Germany at the moment, or would you rather borrow from the U.S.? I mean, does it change that much? Maybe a little bit. It's a little more perspective, I think, than anything. But it's still, our economy still, it doesn't change the way our economy is moving at this point. And I think that's where some of the arguments were coming from in terms of, the reasoning behind why they changed it down to some of the, pundits on the other side, right, who are trying to, discredit that particular rating from Fitch. So it's all relative. It's important, and it's, you can argue, a year from now we might be, it's more symbolic than anything. But at the moment, it's a big deal. It's the increased borrowing cost, which cuts earnings.
Yeah, and of course Janet Yellen disagrees with their decision. She says they're using outdated methodology. But Fitch did say that the U.S. dollar remains the world's preeminent reserve currency. And I have been noticing The dollar has been moving up here recently.
Dollar's
quite a bit,
up
actually.
Against the, yeah, dollar's actually up against the euro today.
Yes,
so
it is up quite sharply. It's up a half a percent. Now, when we come back, unfortunately, AMD picked a bad day to report their earnings because AMD was way up. They beat earnings.
I thought that's what we were going to talk about today.
Yeah.
I was ready to go.
And it was all positive until the downgrade just took every tech stock. Everything with the P.E. ratio over 20 basically got hit harder. I mean, the Dow's down, getting hit hard too, but the NASDAQ's getting hit especially hard. But still, there was good news out of AMD, which we'll go over when we come back. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, if I were to draw a little cartoon of today's market action, it would be a multiple, a number like 19.5x in a vise, right? And tightening that vise and squeezing it and 18 gumming out the top. Remember yesterday we talked, remember it was yesterday that we, Oppenheimer, you know, not that Oppenheimer, not the hydrogen bomb guy, although this Oppenheimer.
Not the one sending folks back to the movie theater.
That Oppenheimer would have used better math on the market than yesterday's Oppenheimer, who came out with a $4,900 price target on the S&P by the end of the year.
Strictly on multiple expansion, right?
And using a 22.5 multiple. And I'm thinking, how do you justify that? Is that the new math? You know, when the long-term average has been more in the mid-18s, yes, we did get up to 23. I think that was the peak during during the COVID year when, you know, interest rates were zero. Now we're over 4%. I don't know how in the world you justify 22.5 and how that person still has a job at Oppenheimer. But you know what? Look, the Wilson still has a job at Morgan Stanley and Kalanovich still has a job at J.P. Morgan. But 22.5, his timing couldn't have been worse because today you're having about probably 50 basis points taken out of the market. Yeah, and of course, AMD went from the biggest winner in the NASDAQ. Now it's down 5%, so it's one of the bigger losers in the NASDAQ. Not because anything AMD did, but because, you know, the market is painting anything with a 20 multiple or higher. AMD is 46 right now, but it's been growing by 74% over the last 5 years, so. But those high multiple stocks are getting hit harder today.
That long duration.
It's long duration, and you're paying up for growth. And some of that helium. I think two newsletters ago, I had a couple people sitting at a table, breathing in helium and getting giddy. And I said, you know, there is helium in some of these high flyers right now. That's why I wouldn't be, it depends on the stock, but there were some that I wouldn't be putting money into because they have 30-40% upside potential, which is very subpar.
Well,
so
when you look at it, they're downgrading the long-term rating of U.S. debt. So it's really, you know, they're not just saying, you know, all of U.S. debt, right, is downgraded. Essentially, they're looking at, you know, looking at this down the road, just like you and I and or, you know, a lot of other, you know, economists and voters
right.
have, you know, said, you know, you can't go down this path for, you know, for very long, right? You eventually, like you said, you're gonna have to, the debt's got to be sorted out in some form or fashion at some point. And what is that tipping point, right? And so they're, you know, really downgrading, increasing long-term borrowing costs, which will even have more of an effect on a company who's, say, not going to be profitable for three more years, right, or four more years, because those their cost, that cost and future value of those potential future earnings are going down because we've got to discount those earnings back to today, right, present value at a higher interest rate.
So. Well, we can look around the world at how other countries have dealt with huge budget deficits, debt. Argentina, Mexico, Brazil over the years, what did they do? They monetized. They devalued the currency. And
make it easier to pay off the debt.
Yeah. And you know, the price of tortillas doubles overnight and it's not good. So that's what you have to worry. That's, you know, I mean, that's been the gold bugs mantra for years. Is at some point in time the U.S. dollar will start to lose its value. And, of course, that creates hyperinflation like the Weimar Republic, etc. Now, that's the worst-case scenario. But Fitch did come along. I mean, they just moved it a little bit, probably just to, I don't know. I don't know what prompted it. Has there been a recent event? I think they pointed to something. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, and a lot of it. I mean, it's, you know, there's some stuff in here as they essentially mentioned the in terms of how the government's been really a lot of it it's less quantifiable when you actually read the report, and I think that's where you have. Folks like Janet Yellen, and you heard from Mohamed El-Erian today, and a few other folks, just in terms of chiming in on their thoughts on it. And a lot of it is a bit less quantifiable than you would think. In other words, it's kind of not, politics aren't necessarily involved, but it's more they're talking about the discord within the political system in the U.S. versus others.
I mean, it has been politicized quite a bit because they do say one of the big impacts is have increased the debt. And I mean, this you could argue all day long. They blame one of the big factors as being tax cuts. I haven't seen that many tax cuts. Trump came in with a few. I'm going to say that overspending is probably 100-to-1 times the factor of tax cuts.
Yeah, well, when you're fixing your deficit by raising the deficit limit versus cutting enough
right.
on the actual
spending that
it still
is the problem.
Right, exactly.
You can't blame the revenue coming in. You have to stay within the revenue coming. Okay, AMD beats by 1 cent. It wasn't a big beat. Their revenue beat by $40 million. But, I always look at the reaction of the stock to see, the magnitude of the report. And the stock was initially up 6%. That was kind of the first blush. And then pretty soon it was down. It was up 4%. It held that most of the night.
It was the only thing green, for the first hour after the Fitch. The Fitch.
Ranking. And then it was up 2. So it obviously was a good report. Okay, there's no question about it. Wall Street praises their artificial intelligence efforts. And like Intel, this was the argument I made. If Intel's seeing light at the end of the PC tunnel, that's got to benefit AMD big time, too. And that's another thing that came out of it. There seems to be light at the end of the PC tunnel. Of course, you had that big spike in PC spending, buying PCs during COVID, working from home. And then you kind of had that go off of a cliff and destroyed demand for a few years. And now it's starting to come back. So anyways, that's AMD out of the way. Now we'll just take a quick look at the earnings that are coming in today. and a couple of big ones tomorrow when we come back. This is the Best Stocks Now show.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show on a kind of a nasty little sell-off here. The market not liking, not happy with Fitch today. The NASDAQ down 230 right now, 1.6%. The Dow down just 0.5%. See the difference between low PE and high PE? So that tells you that this is not an earnings problem. This is not an economy problem, a slowdown in the economy. It strictly affects the multiple in the middle because you're seeing the 10-year here right now at 4.10. We haven't seen that for a while.
Yeah, but we started the week around, what, just under 4, I think,
yeah,
a couple days ago. And, of course, the other side of it is you got to, with the Fitch noise thrown in the middle, you got a pretty hot ADP jobs report today.
Once again, the ADP, which we found out wasn't all that reliable a month ago.
Yeah, it's still a data point, but yeah, it hasn't been very reliable. But the market reacted similarly. Remember the last ADP report?
Absolutely.
That was pretty hot. And then, of course, the next, the non-farm payroll sent it back the other way 2 days later. So that's what we get.
I think that the interest rates will mellow out here, after the today passes, after the downgrade, and after the hotter than expected ADP.
Who does these consensus reports for these ADP jobs, by the way? It came in at 324. The consensus was 185. I mean, talking about somebody estimates of keeping their jobs still.
It must be really unpredictable.
Yeah, but I will say one good thing is that the annual pay increased by 6.2% versus 6.4% in June and 6.5% in May. So one of the kind of silver linings to this piece was that ADP said they continue to see a slowdown in pay growth without broad-based job loss. So that's a perfect mix for a soft landing, right?
Yeah. Well, that'd be like the weatherman predicting 82-degree mellow weather today, and it comes in at 95. That's how far off.
And 90% humidity.
These people were. I don't know if it's the colleges or if it's just nobody has common sense, but they seem to be way off a lot of time.
Well,
usually,
I was hearing these surveys, they're not getting as many respondents as they used to. I was reading an article, I think it was a weekend or two ago, about some of these kind of surveys that we've used, that's been used in the past by economists that are, they're having trouble continually to use them in certain aspects because they're getting less respondents. And, of course, the course of the economy is also changing over time as well. So kind of an interesting – I'm sure somebody's writing a thesis out there about that.
Well, we've had a few earnings here come in today. And, of course, Amazon reports tomorrow. Yesterday I saw a big sell-off in Teladoc, which we don't own anymore. But I said, what's going on there? Amazon is gaining a huge market share, Amazon Clinics. Okay, I haven't looked at this on their site. I'm going to look into it today. But you can go on to Amazon, click on Clinics, and find what you're interested in, whether it's, you know, sleep apnea, weight loss, whatever, and it will show you doctors that specialize in that. You know, Amazon's the biggest monopoly of all time. There's no, they're into everything.
They put a lot of different places out of business over there.
But for some reason, Bezos, they kind of leave him alone. And in the meantime, now they're into clinics. Of course, Apple will report tomorrow also. That's going to be a big report. We'll be about 75 to 80% done with earnings season by this weekend. Wheat futures were way up this morning. Russia hit a Ukraine-Danube grain port. Boy, I mean, that... just humanless, right, to hit a grain port that feeds Africa and the rest of the world.
After they just got done meeting with you know, a handful of African leaders as well. So
just cold, beady eyes. Remember, I think John McCain said, when I look at Putin, I see KGB and beady eyes. U.S. scraps latest offer to replenish the emergency oil reserve. Here's another miscalculation. I remember not that long ago Biden said, you see, here's what we're going to do. We sold it all at 85 and we're going to buy it back at 62. And they make money. The problem is it never got back to 62.
They didn't have any money.
It's 82.
And ran out of money, too.
Yes, so now they've scrapped their latest offer to replenish the emergency oil reserves because now it's too expensive to do it. So that plan didn't work out. Another miscalculation. And we don't have that strategic oil reserve where it should be in case of an emergency.
Is that a plan point or on Bidenomics? Is that part of Biden?
I don't know, or I don't know if who knows. Pressure was put on him not to refill it. Who knows? There's so much that goes on out there behind closed doors and whatnot. Apple tomorrow, iPhone, India, AI, all in focus. We haven't really heard much from Apple on their AI efforts. You know, Apple is pretty good at secrets and keeping things. They must have a very strict policy about spilling the beans on some new product or whatever. But I would expect maybe some updates on their AI efforts. The two big areas that, you know, Apple's growth in cell phones is pretty much leveled off. Qualcomm has been saying that the cell phone market is very much commoditized now. It's like the PC market. There's not a big replacement cycle taking place. So Apple's going to have to get their growth from some other areas. And the two that are most talked about are artificial intelligence, which we talk about that with almost every tech stock. And the other one is their car. Maybe we'll get an update. I don't know about them getting into the car business.
I mean, that just seems expensive. I mean, when Facebook before Meta, when they were going to, you know, spend all that money to put money into the metaverse, we thought that was expensive.
Making
an Apple car, just a car in general. Look at all the other, you know, look at the companies that have done it.
Look at the trouble Ford is having, and they've been in that business all of their lives.
They started that business, right? It's like, they can't even get it right. So I'd rather give my technology out to some other car maker, I think.
License
the car myself.
At some point in time, people are going to realize that Apple is no longer a double-digit grower, and it has not been. It still continues to carry a glamour multiple, but when I give it my best numbers, my most optimistic numbers going forward, I get about 35% upside potential. That is really subpar. So putting new money in Apple, to me, man, there's just better growth companies out there. Now, here's one bucking the trend here today, one that we own. It was one of our featured stocks of the week in recent newsletter, Wingstop. Really one of the better growth companies out there. I mean, there's not many companies growing like Wingstop is, and they plan on going from 2,000 to 5,000.
I remember when you said that for the first time, and I was like, wow.
And it shows up. Their sales up 43% year over year, and their earnings up 79% year over year. So there's not a lot of growth stocks out there. Now, I saw a big wing company here in this neck of the woods declare bankruptcy yesterday. Wing, I can't remember. There's so many wings out there, but they had about 40 or 50.
Buffalo Wild Wings.
No, it's they have one in North Charleston. They had one in Mount Pleasant. They were based in Mount Pleasant, Wing something, and they declared bankruptcy yesterday. But Wingstop is up 1.4% today. And then another one, let's just look at and see how they're doing here today. Inspire Medical, which has the alternative sleep apnea device, which is actually implanted as opposed to wearing the big clunky mask at night. It's down 5.6%, but I got to believe that's more market than anything than the company itself, which is kind of a disruptor in that sleep apnea. And then the other one bucking the trend, Builders First Source, which is a supplier to the home builders. That continues to be probably the best sector in the market, is the home builders. Go figure with the interest rates what they are, but it's supply and demand. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. So does this mean that you sell all of your growth stocks here and trade them in for low PE value stocks? Because if you look across the board today, you look at the Dow, the low PE value dividend pair. Look at the Dow. Merck is up 2.1. Walgreens Boots Alliance is up 1.6. Caterpillar is one. Are those the kind of stocks you want to own? Merck, Walgreens Boots Alliance.
And Caterpillar at an all-time high.
It was the co-stock. It was the runner-up stock of the day yesterday for me. The stock of the day was Arista Networks. You look at the S&P 500, Aflac is up 5.4. Humana is up 5.4. CDW, which is a computer wholesale distributor, is up 4. CVS is up 3.7. So all of these lower PE, you go to the NASDAQ and it's Biogen, Mondelez, which makes Oreo cookies. Okay, so do you want to own Oreo cookies? They haven't announced, have they announced their AI strategy yet? Mondelez with their Kraft cheese and Oreo cookies. You know, a little artificial intelligence maybe in the middle of those wafers. But that's the kind of stocks that are holding up
better.
Artificial
enough already, Bill.
Yeah, is there anything real in there at all? Or is it just a big chunk of chemicals? Chartered Communication up 1.4. Now then you look to the downside, and it's your high PE growth stocks, and they're going to really be punished today. AMD is down 5.1% now. It went from being up 6 to down 5. That's an 11-point move. That's quite a bit there in that. Workday is down 4.4. Mercado Libre, which is the Amazon of South America, it's down 3.9. Adobe's down 3.9 after having a good day yesterday. So basically, I mean, you can take all of these PE ratios and rank them from the highest PE stocks to the lowest PE stocks. And when you get a move in interest rates, and the bond market has been selling off, I've been mentioning that every day on Twitter and to the subscribers, our subscribers, that is having an impact. It hasn't like it is today. Today's kind of the culmination of it all. because now you've got the 10-year at 4.10. Now, just for fun, let's look at the 2-year. I don't think it's going up as much.
Yeah, 0.01.
Yeah,
basically
so,
it's up one basis point with the 10-year, what, up, let's see, it's at the top of my chart. Yeah, 10-year's up 7 basis points.
So that's so. Where you're getting that biggest jump in interest rates is out there on the long end, and that has a big impact, at least a daily impact. And we'll get our usual emails from our nervous clients, you know, today, and what's going on? Should I sell everything? Well, we have a handful, you know, and I talk them down off the ledge every time. Unless there really is a ledge, you know, up there that they should be on. But no, I mean, this is just kind of a one-day event. I don't think it's a game changer either. I mean, look, the last time this happened was 2011. And now you basically have Fitch today agreeing with S&P 500, S&P, what they did 12 years ago. Look at what the market's done since 2011. We got down to 600. The S&P was probably about 800 at that time. Now it's at 4,500. So I wouldn't say that the downgrade of U.S. debt, of course, we've piled on a lot more debt.
And we're about to. I think we're about to sell another $1 trillion worth of treasuries, I think here in the next, I don't know, handful of months, if I'm
but,
not mistaken.
You know, I can see this becoming more of a talking point maybe with the candidates. Of course, you know, they're going to blame mostly the guy in office for the downgrade and for the recent bout of inflation and whatnot and for the ballooning deficit that we've had. So that should be a debate. At the end of the day, I think they vote for the guy who's most likable. You know, that's what it seems like.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've heard of you know, essentially a senator in an election year. Of course, it was one that he was going to win pretty easily, and he's said that our voters expect too much from us, meaning too much from the government in terms of whether it's social programs, what have you, right? And there's no real incentive for an elected candidate to cut those promises, right? I mean, they're just
going to lose support.
Because you're going to lose your vote. So it's a, I don't know, it's a spiral, and there's, you know, really, until you have, you know, two candidates on opposite sides who at least have a similar message, at least on the budget, right? Cutting something. They may decide to cut different things, but until you have that, you don't really make much progress.
No, they want us all, I've often said this before, they want us all to use sustainable energy and eat sustainable shrimp. But, you know, what they're doing is not sustainable. It's just not sustainable. At some point in time, it's going to not end well. That's why you got to keep a little weed around, a little gold.
And that's all governments around the world. Look at all GDP to, GDP to debt estimates, and they're all high, much of them considerably higher than
maybe
the U.S.
Maybe the debt bomb is more dangerous than the hydrogen bomb at the end of the day. Well, anyways, you know what? I'll be going through, you know, who knows? Maybe there's some opportunity in some of these stocks that were 70% undervalued yesterday. Now they're 75%. Maybe there's opportunity there. But I'm certainly not going to do anything drastic today. I'm not going to be there. There may be a few here or there on the fringes that I look at again and look to upgrade, you know, on a day like today. But I would be more of a buyer today than a seller today, that's for sure, unless a story's changed, unless somebody's missed an earnings estimate badly and really given poor guidance, something like that. Now, if you want to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, I've held your hand since 2009 in that newsletter while we've watched the market go up, while we've watched earnings go up. I've talked you down off the ledge many, many, many times. You've seen the S&P go from 600 to 4,500. And yet there's people that have been throwing darts at it all along the way. Well, you can read the newsletter to give you a little bit of a steadier hand. Get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to talk to us about money management and a financial plan, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.